God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking today about how God works all things together for His own purposes. And all things means everything, and everything means all things. No exceptions. Have you read the verse in Proverbs 16, verse 4? It says here, the Lord works out everything for His own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord works out everything for His own ends. To me, that is a most comforting and fortifying and stabilizing verse. The secret of stability, of serenity, of confidence in God. He's got the whole world in His hands. Did you ever hear Ethel Waters sing that song? He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. And then there's a verse that says, He's got you and me, brother, in His hands. I won't sing you the whole song, but I love that. And I love to ponder that and the way in which God proves to us that He is in charge. In the simplest terms, this is the great lesson set to all of us every day of our lives. Who's in charge? Who's got the world in His hands? Who's responsible, finally, for the fitting together of all things? Amy Carmichael established a mission in South India called the Donavur Fellowship, and they put out a monthly letter called Dust of Gold. In a recent one, there was this wonderful story, which is a perfect illustration of a glimpse into the way God fits amazingly opposite things together to accomplish His own purposes. This article is called A Cyclone, a Surgeon, and a Baby, and it's written by my friend Olive Fuller, who worked with Amy Carmichael for many years in South India. She was back in India visiting, and she writes this, "Traveling on an Indian Airlines pass, I visited friends in several places north of Tamil Nadu and was returning to Donavur via Trivandrum. But news of the devastation caused by the cyclone in most of the state, and especially that area, forced me to terminate air travel in Madurai and to go on from there by bus. No sooner was that decided than the possibility of a bus strike made me pray again and reconsider. In the end, it seemed best to travel by express train from Madras to Tuticorin, where the village center staff were to meet me before I proceeded to Donavur the same day. God was in that upset of plans. In Donavur, they were inquiring in every possible direction for a plastic surgeon who could operate on little Satya, aged 11 months. She was urgently in need of surgery on a hare lip and cleft palate before her upper teeth erupted. She already had two lower teeth, and any long delay would certainly result in damage to her dentition. Every source Ponalati was in touch with could only promise an indefinite wait. We prayed, and God arranged the seating reservation on the Tuticorin Express for little Satya's help. But for the cyclone, I should not have been on that train. Opposite me in the same compartment was a young doctor, traveling to see a patient on whom he had operated the previous week. His work is in a government hospital in Madras, but every few months he does consultations and surgery in one of the hospitals not far from Donavur, where Ponalati had made inquiries. Because I was in a sari, he began by asking many questions about the work in Donavur. A sari, of course, is the Indian woman's dress, a beautiful, probably the most beautiful feminine costume that an Indian could wear, and all of the white workers at Donavur wore the saris, as did all the Indians. So he began asking questions about the work in Donavur and was amazed at the account of God's faithfulness, though himself a Hindu. In course of conversation, it transpired that he was a plastic surgeon. When he heard of Satya, he was extremely interested and said that he would perhaps visit Donavur and meet Ponnalatti before his return to Madras. All of this took place on the Wednesday. That same week, he phoned to say that he was coming on the following Tuesday. Having seen Satya, he arranged to operate the next day, just 1 week after first knowing about Donavur. Quite breathtaking. What a miraculous answer to prayer. What a wonderful, loving God who can use a cyclone to reroute one of his children in order that a competent plastic surgeon with a kindly heart could meet Satya's need and be his means of lifting the load of uncertainty. Dr. S. will return, he says, in 2 to 3 months to operate further on Satya and also on Sobhana, a younger baby with a similar need of surgery if she is strong enough by then. There's a footnote that says Sobhana remained a very weak baby and has gone to her heavenly home. How good God is! This sequence of events is not yet finished. We continue to give thanks for Dr. S.'s generous and speedy help, and we pray that God will bless him and his wife. Surely that is an integral part of such a miracle. God does hear and answer prayer. Let's ponder that little story. A cyclone. Who's in charge of the winds? The winds and waves still recognize the voice of the one who stilled them when he lived here on earth. The winds obey God. They obey him perfectly. The tides, the trees, the animals, they all obey God perfectly. We don't, do we? God has given us a will, and very often we will against him, and he allows us our will. Cyclones are fearful things. What about cleft palates? God has arranged a universe in which evil is allowed, in which suffering is inevitable. A cleft palate means great suffering for the child. What about the upset plan, the train instead of the bus? The Bible says, "The Lord works out everything according to his own plan." Saint Teresa of Avila wrote, "Let nothing disturb you, nothing frighten you. All things are passing. God never changes. Patience wins all things. Whoever has God wants nothing." That word "wants" there means lacks nothing. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. I was talking with a woman just this past weekend who was not exactly pouring out her sorrows to me, but as she tried to speak about the people in her church, she began to weep. She said, "There's a lot of pain here." And at once it was clear to me that what she really meant was, "There's a lot of pain in my life." She didn't tell me very much. She's not a person who feels sorry for herself or indulges in self-pity. But I had a few little inklings from other things that she had said and written, and I began to put two and two together and to realize that a part of her sorrow was the fact that her husband was not one of those men who is given to expressing his affirmations. He's a good man. He seems to be a very loving father, and I know he loves his wife, but he doesn't give a whole lot of evidence. He doesn't say much in the way of affirmation. And I smiled when she told me this. I said, "You know, I hear this story from so many women. I just don't think very many men realize that their wives would appreciate the affirmation. You know, they're like the man who said, well, I told you on our wedding day that I loved you, and I've never rescinded that. They don't seem to realize, even though we tell them, we'd like to hear it, maybe once a week anyway. Another friend told me that she had not been kissed by her husband for 4 months. Let nothing disturb you, nothing frighten you. All things are passing. God never changes. Patience wins all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. And God is working things out, everything, according to His plan. So I tried to encourage both of these women when they told me this by just the simple reminder that God knows. And I said to one of them, is it enough that God knows? Can you believe that He allows this to happen in your life because He wants to prove to you that He is sufficient? Can you just be grateful for the fact that you have a husband, you have children, you have a lovely home, you have lots of friends, you're healthy, so you don't have affirmation. You don't have intimacy. You don't have understanding. If you needed those things, God would give them. God wants you to find your sufficiency in Him. But it goes back to the belief that God is aware of everything that happens. He is in charge of everything that happens. He knows how to change men's hearts. But He also wants to speak to you and me in the stillness and say, I know. I've seen your tears. I've heard your cries. I love you. I will give you what you need. Rest in my arms.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.